Welcome to this special edition of The Drive. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williams, and I hope everybody enjoyed their weekend off. I know the Steelers did. They actually had a little day yesterday, Matt, where they went out and did some fun stuff.
Oh, did they? I missed all that. Did they do a Dave and Buster's run or something?
It wasn't Dave and Buster's. They went somewhere. I saw some guys doing some different stuff. I'm not quite sure where they went, but it was something like
that. That's cool. Yeah.
I saw people complaining about it on social media. Like, they didn't even skip a day of practice yesterday to do that. They weren't scheduled to practice.
And say often they'll, like, show up here and be like, oh, surprise, we're not practicing today. We're going to go to Dave and Buster's or bowling or whatever. I guess I could understand a fan semi-complaining about that, but you also have no clue what you're talking about in terms of what you're missing. I mean, the team bonding might be more important than what they do on the field.
Team building exercise 89, like you said, in Flight of the Conchords.
But, I mean, yesterday you were a complaint with a bunch of them going doing something.
On a day off.
Yeah, come on.
No, that's
great.
A day off from a non-mandatory event.
No, right. In June.
Yeah. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We are live from the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex, where the Steelers are currently taking part in OTA number 7. That means a week from today they will start their mandatory mini camp.
Right.
Here. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty here, Matt.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. I mean, it's third week of OTAs. I'm kind of walking in, thinking, wonder if energy will be a little down, you know? And, man, it's not. I mean, there's more people here, I think, than any day.
Well, it's an alumni day.
It's an alumni day. You know, Pitt folks are around as usual. They've been in attendance quite a bit, just viewing things. Lots of media. I mean, a lot of familiar faces. So energy is really high here.
Very much so. And, getting a lot of work done. And, again, laying the foundation for those training camp practices you don't get – you have the energy at training camp.
Right. Well, until you don't. Right.
Yeah, until it gets to be like the dog days of camp, like that second week that you're out there. The first week, everybody's fired
everyone's
up
all wound
it.
Up, yeah.
And then that second week, everybody, you know, media, the players, everybody, we just want to go hit somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these teams, well, not, I guess less than used to, you know, you fly in another team just so you can beat up on somebody, or you get to play in the Hall of Fame game, which is always the biggest letdown in the history of the world. But it gets a little old O-line, D-line drills against your buddies. You know, it's like, let's go hit somebody
else. One of the things about these sessions that make it interesting. There's no contact.
Mm-hmm.
The blocking and all that stuff, it doesn't happen.
No, right.
These are more like
scout team type stuff.
Yeah, these are more like regular season practices. Whereas training camp, you ramp it up even a little bit more.
Because you
do have the pads on. And Mike Tomlin does a great job of managing live reps and things of that nature. The Steelers have a lot of new guys this year. And I'm going to be interested to see how many of them, when they get to that first training camp practice and they go live tackling, like, how many of these guys are going to go, oh, my.
Yeah, right.
I've never seen that before.
It's a little steeper than it is in other places around the league.
Because I've talked to some guys about that over the years. They're like, oh, this is real.
Yeah.
This is actual football.
I mean, just to pull back the curtain, and then this is not, you know, breaking rules of what's going on, but you'll see offensive dudes with, like, beanies on pretending to be defensive dudes. You know, I mean, they're just kind of getting in the way, and, you know, they're not, you know, being defensive linemen necessarily. So it's a lot different, of course. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I do think Steeler camp, as usual, will be a little more physical, a little more intense than most. And I think that pays off during the year.
I think it does, too. I think, again, with so many new faces here, those become even more important. I haven't gone through and counted how many new guys. I haven't looked at who I expect to make the 53 yet. We're too far out from that.
Yeah.
But I would expect a lot. I mean, the majority of the guys that they've signed or traded for, or, you know, done those kind of things, are going to make this roster. And then you add in the draft picks. I mean, you're talking about typically, I think I saw this last year, your roster turns over about 40%, so about 20 guys or so on your
roster. That's the average. I mean, you got to think 5 to 7 draft, maybe 5 to 8 or 9 draft picks. You know, I mean, some guys retire.
Depending on how you include the undrafted guys, a rookie class.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, they'd actually make the team.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably have between 5 and 8, something like that on average. That being said, I know you can't have both. You can't be But they're also, as you mentioned yesterday too, they're returning a lot of starters. They may not return as starters necessarily, but they are returning a lot of starters. And especially on offense, they're so young. It's not like a lot of those guys aged out or left via free agency that were part of last year's mix too. So especially on offense, it's a lot of the same plus, you know.
Plus.
Yeah.
Plus is a good way to look at it here. Got some interesting stuff here. I wanted to throw into this real quick here. So Pro Football Focus has their center rankings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they've been going position by position. Right.
Center rankings. You don't see too many center rankings.
No, that's getting pretty intense.
Yeah.
Give them credit for that.
Of course, they love Creed Humphrey at Pro Football.
Yeah.
He's their number one.
I get that.
Guy.
He's number one.
Okay. I'm not putting him ahead of Jason Kelce.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't put anybody ahead of Kelce who's not lost a step.
No.
You know, right. No. I mean, I think he's as, with all respect to Pouncey and some of the others, I think Kelsey's as good as any center since Dirk Dawson.
Yeah.
He still is.
His Pro Football Focus run blocking grade hasn't dipped below 70 since his rookie season back in 2011. And it hasn't been below 79 since 2015.
So it's like,
now, whether you agree
better
with their grades
sure,
or not,
sure.
That's but, still pretty good.
But they're not night and day. I mean, it's still in the neighborhood. Right. What's crazy about him, too, is he's so unethical. I mean, or so different because he's very small, but he's an insane mover and great leverage, and a lot of his run blocks are well downfield that other centers don't even get to.
Well, that leads me to when we were talking with Isaac Samalu last week, and some of the things I went through the tape again over the weekend, and I thought it was interesting that he was talking about offensive linemen knowing when to be aggressive and when not to be aggressive.
I thought that was interesting too. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm glad. Wanted to revisit it at the time, and we just sort of ran out of time.
Yeah, we ran out of time. But it's part of the, like he says, you have to know when you can let it all hang out and when you can't, and when you can be aggressive and when you can't, when you can take a chance and when you can't. And that's one thing that Kelce does well, and I would imagine having played next to Kelce for so long that Samalu would have that as well. And that, again, it takes you, that's something that young linemen can learn. I think that's something that the Steelers learned last year.
I mean, I think it's something Broderick Jones needs to learn. As all rookies do, but him maybe more than others because he doesn't have a ton of reps under his belt at the college level. And I think what is meant by that, and there's a couple of phases, is that some of it's situational. Hey, we have to get this yard, so I'm selling out and coming off the ball with everything I got, and it's a crucial third and one or whatever. Some of it's just this, your technique. A lot of you'll hear getting over your skis, because you're being too aggressive, you're leaning too far forward, and a guy's just going to shrug you off, you'll lose your balance.
Yeah.
I mean, pass protection, patience is a very, very important part of pass protection.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting back, waiting, adjusting.
Wait for that guy to give you his move.
Yeah.
And then
you
adjust, you counteract off of that.
Yeah. I mean, in some cases, the first guy that flinches loses in a way, Like, if I'm the first one to throw a punch or whatever is a boxing metaphor, you kind of sell yourself a little bit. So
some of that's knowing who you're playing against too.
That's a good point.
Does this guy have multiple moves, or is he just a bull rush guy?
Right.
Okay, I can play the bull rush then.
So it's funny. I was watching Nick Bosa this weekend just for the heck of it, and
this is what we do in the weekend, folks.
Yeah, we're pretty exciting. And he's a tremendous football player. He's gonna be here week one, but much of his success is bull rush. I mean,
it's just really tough to do in the NFL.
It's really tough to do, and it's so good that you have to let – it's a 102-mile-an-hour fastball, but then when the curve comes, it's whoa. Like I'm swinging out of my shoes.
It's like facing Nolan Ryan
in his
heyday.
And he drops that curve on your changeup.
Like, that's not fair.
Right. I'm finally adjusting to the fastball.
So, Kelce is 2. Corey Linsley, 3. Okay. Frank Ragnow, 4.
Okay.
Tyler Linderbaum, 5.
Might be a little early for that.
Already?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a tremendous group of 32 centers across the league right now. And there's kind of been a shortage for a decade or so. Second half of his season was better than the first, but that seems like we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit there.
He had a 53.5 pass blocking grade, which was the 6th worst in the position.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of what we knew going into this, that he was going to be a work in progress.
Sure.
They don't throw the ball at Iowa.
No. They don't throw the ball in Baltimore.
Well, that too.
Especially against bull rushes and power moves. Yeah. I mean, he's – unlike Kelce, he has yet to show that despite being undersized, he can handle the power and
absolutely.
You know, those type of things, right? Move bigger bodies.
Yeah. David Andrews, 6. Ethan Posick from the Browns, 7.
He had a really good year, but
I don't know that's who he is.
Yeah, I'd say a year ago, he was their third string center. Or he was when Treader retired, he became the 2.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. They have a very good offensive line coach, I'm sure, that helped his cause quite a bit, too. But they gave him money after that.
Connor Williams from the Dolphins is 8. And I bring him up because they're having their mandatory minicamp this week. And
they're a little ahead of schedule.
I want to stress the mandatory there. Mm-hmm. And he is not there. And it's in Josh McDaniel – or not Josh McDaniels.
Coach McDaniel.
Coach McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniels.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was 2 McDaniels there.
I always put the S on the end, and it shouldn't, and right, yeah.
Said that is an unexcused absence.
Which is interesting because 1 year ago, he had never really played center at the NFL level. He was a guard for the Cowboys, and I assume he has center somewhere in his background. You don't have to sign a guy and give him big money in free agency and say, hey, we're going to change positions. But he did at the NFL level, and it was a successful year, but he's not a superstar. I mean, could he possibly be unhappy with the deal 1 year in?
Well, he signed a 2-year, $14 million deal. So this year,
I guess he's up after the season.
Yeah, he's up after the season. That's like a $100,000 fine for missing every day you miss of a mandatory camp like that.
I was going to say, this isn't a cheap approach.
And I might add, you can't waive those fines anymore.
No, right. It's going to somehow he is going to pay it.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe he is the 9th best center in the league. Do you have that kind of cachet to tell the Dolphins that, I'm sitting out?
Well, he might be their best offensive lineman.
I say they don't have a lot of options.
I mean, they got Armstead now.
Right. But I don't know who their other center capable players are. They were really hurting there before they signed him.
Number 9 on their list is Ted Karras from the Bengals.
He's just a guy.
I'm not buying.
Right. He's fine.
Ryan Jensen from the Buccaneers is 10.
I mean, he should be 4, but he missed all last year. I mean, he's had a really good career.
At 11 is Cody Whitehair from the Bears.
Okay. I think he's settled in at center finally. Yeah. They bounced him around a little bit.
12 is Brian Allen from the Rams.
He's another undersized guy, but he's serviceable. He's fine.
13 is Drew Dahlman from the Falcons.
Okay.
14 is Mitch Morse from the Bills.
He's been a little disappointing lately. He's making pretty good money and is considered their second best offensive lineman and hasn't quite lived up to it.
15 is Eric McCoy with the Saints.
Yeah, he should be higher than that, too. He's a pretty talented guy. They just re-upped him.
Yeah. 16, Ryan Kelly with the Colts.
He had a bad year. I wonder if that's the beginning of the end for him or if he can rebound, but it's a pivotal point in his career.
Yeah, no kidding. 17, Bradley Bozeman from the Panthers.
Yeah, he's fine. He's former Raven.
18 is Evan Brown from the Seahawks.
Okay, he's kind of a nondescript dude.
19 is Josh Myers from the Packers.
Young guy. Ohio State guy, right?
His rookie year.
He was in the Kendrick Green, whatchamacallit, KC Humphrey class.
20, Garrett Bradbury from the Vikings.
Undersized that is not adjusted to being undersized.
No.
He gets bullied,
21, Andre James from the Raiders.
He's fine.
And then at 22, we finally get to Mason Cole.
Yeah, I assume that's where you've been going with this all along.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of names on there that I would at least put Mason with neck and neck. I mean, at least in the same tier. And frankly, I mean, I don't study every center, every snap, of course.
Right.
But I would have him higher on the list than that.
So according to their grades, his 67.1 overall grade was 12th among centers.
Okay.
So I don't understand how he was 12th last year,
right.
And he's 22nd.
I mean, his track record going into last year isn't as strong as some of those dudes.
Some of these guys, though, it's still a pretty big projection.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Linderbaum's 5 or something
like
that. And some of those names, their book, not that Cole's going to end up being Mike Webster, but, I mean, 10 of those names you mentioned before him aren't pedigree guys or, you know, the future's really bright. I mean, they kind of are what they are.
I wanted to bring this up again is because, you know, we've talked about how Isaac Seumalo can make the left tackle better.
Mm-hmm.
What we haven't talked about is how Isaac Seumalo can make the center better as well.
Oh, and I think he will. I absolutely think he will. I mean, anyone that listened to that interview or has done any homework on Isaac realize he is very, very smart and – technically sound, and not that Mason Cole's short on those things and doing the line calls.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard no complaints. That's always something you have to kind of get secondhand information on. But, I mean, I think he's going to be a good sounding board, you know, especially during the game. That's the thing people don't think about.
Right.
O-line coaches are great during the week with technicians and all that. But when you see something during the game, boy, I didn't think Aaron Donald would line up in a 5-eye. I thought he'd just be a 3 technique. How do we do our outside zone now? You know, are we going to make this adjustment play to play or series to series? Someone like Solomalu is going to be really valuable with that. Or, hey, you know, he's beating you with this inside club move or whatever. Try setting a little different or
something. Communication on what you see, and even during
especially
the week.
Especially that position.
Like what you see during the week when you're watching tape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's value, too, to bringing guys over from the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
I played against this guy 7 times in the last, 4 years.
Right.
I know you get to see him once every 4 years.
It's funny. I was thinking about Patrick Peterson the other day, and I'm thinking, has he ever lined up against Jamar Chase? I mean, maybe. I mean, I know they're both LSU dudes. I'm sure they know each other. But if I'm him, I'm watching a lot of Chase and Higgins film, and guys, maybe you've played against them once. Maybe, you know.
I'm sure he's watched a lot of them as an LSU guy.
Especially Chase. Yeah. But, same situation, though. You know, like, I've never played against this guy. Or, boy, he reminds me of Chris Jones that I used to play against with the super long arms. Try this, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
I just think there's some value to having some of those outside voices that – I mean, quite frankly, the last 2 years, the Steelers have been quite active in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Even though not all those signings are big name.
Yeah, I mean, the Mason Coles of the world. Right.
But I think there's things that you can learn from bringing in some guys from the outside that go beyond just what they put on the field.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, especially bring in the right guys. And it sure seems like that they've gone out of their way to do that. I mean, Peterson, Solomalu. They both sat down with us. But before that, you knew they were high character,
Cole
smart
and Daniels.
Right. 100%. Yeah. Guys that want to be here. I mean, some of their best football is ahead of them. That was a theme last year.
Yeah.
James Daniels is still really young.
Even, a Mitch Trubisky, bringing him in and allowing him to work with Kenny Pickett, I think, pays some dividends as well.
Both former first-round picks.
Yeah.
Like, I've been there, done it.
How to handle certain situations. He's been in, had multiple coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a little different perspective on how to look at things.
Hardships and success. And just expectations, dealing with media, things like that you don't even think about. It's a good mix, it seems like, of age and youth, but of human beings as well, of smart guys, eager dudes, good teachers, So I like what they've done. I think it's certainly been a conscious effort. Like DeAndre Hopkins is a great player. He's a free agent right now. But, like, everyone on the planet knows he's a terrible practice
teammate.
Player. He doesn't practice at all and hardly gives any effort. Like, okay, a lot of teams could use him. He'll land somewhere. He might have a tremendous year. He might have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. But the young receiver next to him might be like, maybe I'll take a couple plays off and practice,
right.
too.
That's all part of it as well. Or, for example, the Odell Beckham signing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been toxic in 2 different places now.
Yeah. Exactly.
You didn't hear that with the Rams, but I don't think he was there long enough.
Who knows? Right.
To be toxic.
Right, and then he got injured.
But he was toxic, with the Giants. He was toxic with the Browns.
With the Browns especially, yeah.
Like, is that what you want to add to your young receiver?
Because they're going to look up to them,
Yeah.
I mean, in some way, shape, or form, Pickens is going to look up to Allen Robinson. It's just an age thing. He's been successful. He's had a good career. He's made a lot of money. People know who he is. So there's going to be an influence there. There's going to be an influence from Peterson, from Solomalu, all those guys. And it looks like it should be a positive one.
You would hope.
Yeah.
I think that's one of
the
things
that they're
looking for sure. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio, our ongoing coverage live from the Steelers OTA sessions here at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and this is a special edition of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from the Steeler OTA sessions here at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex, and the Steelers taking part in OTA practice number 7. Matt, I thought we'd continue down the rabbit hole with some of these Pro Football Focus list here.
Yeah, they were good. I've been paying attention to them.
They have
a
list here of everybody does the top players under 25 in the league. Nobody ever talks about the top players over 30.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting
one. And that's what they've got here. They've got their 30 players, 30 over 30.
30 over 30. Yeah. 30 for 30. Okay.
We're going to go through these guys, and you tell me of these guys, how many do you think are future Hall of Famers?
Okay.
Makes it interesting because at this point, these guys have their resumes.
Resumes are pretty strong and may add a little to them, of course, but, you know, right.
So number one on the list is Trent Williams.
I think he's in.
Yeah.
And I think he's still the best left tackle in the league.
Which is saying something.
He is a bully. I mean, he beats people up. I mean, if they need a yard, it's behind him. They never help him in protection. As good as ever.
Number two, Aaron Donald.
And clearly, obviously.
Yeah. Number three, Travis Kelce.
In, yeah, no doubt.
Another Hall of Fame.
I mean, he's starting to get to Gronk Gonzalez land in terms of legacy.
Number four is Davante Adams. He's just turned 30 this year.
Not in yet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's building a strong case.
He's just a touchdown machine, though.
He's so good. But I would say he's probably got a five-year body of work of really being elite, you know, maybe even less. Does that sound right to you? I mean, he was really good last year despite not as good circumstances. He's made some rumblings that he's not thrilled with how the last offseason's gone with the Raiders.
I think part of it is, you know, he's buddies with Carr. They went to college together.
Right. He picked the Raiders.
Yeah. He picked the Raiders because of Carr. Then they get rid of Carr for an injured Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't blame him for being.
Yeah. You know,
I
mean, sometimes, what are we doing here?
Sometimes you just want players to mind your own business, be quiet. But I think he's really taking a leadership role. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wonder if he's a potential sneaky trade candidate.
Maybe.
You know, what if he ended up in Kansas City? He wouldn't in that
trade
division.
Trade him to New Orleans.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
Number five, Cameron Hayward.
I don't think he gets in, unfortunately. Kind of like the Richard Seymour conversation. It's just a tough position to generate numbers.
I think he's getting close.
He's really helped himself lately.
Another all-pro.
The Walter Payton Man of the Year thing would be a big one,
be a big feather in his cap as well.
And I don't think his story's done. Like, I'm not just saying, oh, no, he's got no chance. I mean, he has two more years like he did the last couple. I mean, he's been as good as ever. And he's putting up stats and sacks and things like that, too. Maybe.
He's going to be a man.
Yeah.
Number six is Cooper Kupp.
No. He's came to the league late. He probably doesn't have the body of work that Adams has over the last 5 years. But he's still awesome. I mean, he was the most productive receiver in the league 1 year ago.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's a Ram at the end of the year. I think that's questionable. I mean, it's not – him and Adams still have a chance. I mean, they're still playing a really high level. I'm almost certain Kupp turned 30, like, this week, too.
He turns 30 in June, Number seven is Joel Bitonio, who Pro Football Focus loves. I can't put him ahead of the next two guys on this list.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's had a really good career, but no.
These next two guys, or next three guys, really, are Von Miller.
I think he's in.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
And Jason Kelce.
Yes. Be cool if the Kelces went in together.
And they're both heading that direction.
I think Travis might last longer of the two than Jason.
Maybe.
I mean, because Jason flirted with retirement this year. I don't know who's older off the top of my head.
I think Jason's a little bit older.
Is he? Yeah. I don't know if he came to the league or a year earlier or what, but they're very similar. But I think they're both in.
Number 11 is Lane Johnson.
I think he's a slam dunk, too. Not everyone sees it that way, but I think he's
tough for right tackles, though.
It is tough for right tackles. I mean, I wonder of all the tackles in the Hall of Fame, how many are strictly right? I bet it's 10%. I mean, a very, very low percentage. You would hope that starts to get closer to 50, as right tackles have had a harder time the last 10 years than they did 30 years ago in terms they're blocking the Von Millers now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think Johnson's been the best right tackle in the league over the last decade.
I think
he has a suspension or two, though, that doesn't help his cause.
Yeah, it doesn't help
some injuries.
Yeah,
you know,
it doesn't help the cause. This thought just came into my mind. If Aaron Donald doesn't exist right now, he didn't come into the league, he doesn't become Aaron Donald.
I don't even know who he is.
Cam Hayward a slam dunk for the Hall of Fame?
Certainly would help. I mean, he'd probably have more all pros.
It's like the Brady.
Michael Jordan. Yeah. You know, right? Some of those guys have monopolized the awards. Would sure help.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, without doubt.
12, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, I think he's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's done. You know, in.
13 is Brandon Graham.
No.
He's not.
No. good player.
Yeah.
He's a Ring of Honor Eagle type guy.
Career-high 12 sacks last year at 34.
Never would I have said he's a top five defensive end, though.
No, you know what I mean? Number 14 is a guy who's a lot older than people may think. Kevin Byard. Turns 30 in August.
I mean, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but good career, story. Did come to the league early, or late.
Yeah. 15 is Zach Martin.
I think he's a slam dunk. I mean, I think he's a Trent Williams level. I don't want to say all-time
the
great.
The last couple years have not been
– not dominant.
They've been banged up. Banged up a little bit.
But I think he has as good a case as Hutchinson or a Fanica or one of those guys. Might not be right away because of his position, but he's in.
16 is Kirk Cousins.
No. He had a really good year, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an easy guy to bang on. Like he's the line of demarcation. But he's been really productive
for a
as
long
a Viking,
time, yeah.
especially. Yeah.
17 is Keenan Allen.
I'd say no.
Yeah.
Again,
good
career.
Wide receiver's so tough.
It's so tough, yeah. And he seems to be slipping a little. He could rejuvenate himself this year, but I think he's out.
18 is DeMario Davis.
Also out, but a lot better than people think.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably a top five linebacker right now, even at his age. Some of these linebackers fade away slow.
They go slowly.
I assume Levante David will be on that list, too. You know what I mean? So some of these dudes are – take a while to get going and then fade away slow.
It's coming up soon, in fact. 19 is Za'Darius Smith.
Good player, but no chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 is Levante David.
Wagner's going to hurt him.
Yeah. It's that same argument with
I think he'll be, Kuechly will go. I'm just thinking like linebackers of this last 10 years. I think Wagner goes. Guys like Willis can't get in. I think David goes.
I think Willis eventually does get in.
I do, too, but the thing hurting him is what David has is longevity.
Yeah.
You know, with a kind of an opposite resume.
21 is DeMarcus Lawrence.
No chance, but good player.
Yeah. 22 is Joe Thuney.
Probably not, but the fact that he's winning Super Bowls sure helps.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's still really good. I mean, they might get four more good years out of him, and he may have a strong case.
23.
And it's hard to be a high-profile guard, but, he hit free agency.
Get paid a lot of money.
He probably won Super Bowls with the Patriots, now that I think about it. And then he goes to the next generation, dynasty, and got paid a lot of money, like you said. Right. And he's played some tackle, too. So he may have maybe a sneaky one.
23 is Tyler Lockett.
No chance. But
no chance.
Really good player.
Really good player.
He could be a Seahawks Ring of Honor guy.
Yeah. 24 is Stephon Gilmore.
I doubt it, but he's one of the few corners that won
that Defensive Player of the Year award. Certainly helps his cause.
I mean, he played really well for the Colts last year, and what if he does again for Dallas? It's a tough one, though. I'm going to say no, but he could – 2 big years would help him.
25 is Calais Campbell.
Does he have a better or worse case than Cam?
Worse.
I think worse.
Yeah.
But he's knocking on the door of 100 sacks.
I
know he's very conscious of it. That's the only reason I mentioned that, because I saw an interview.
And he does have an NFL
– He has a
Man of the Year award.
Right. He's been on good teams.
Well, I've never looked at him as a dominant player.
I didn't either.
Though.
I mean, I think
he's a good player.
Is better.
They list him as a defensive interior guy. For a long time, he was listed as an end.
He came to the league as an end.
Yeah.
As a 6'8", condor arms.
Yeah.
I think he was like 280 at his combine, something in that neighborhood. And those guys, I mean, he's reinvented himself. He's strong. I don't think he gets in, but really, really good career.
Really good career.
Highly respected player,
26.
He'll be good for Atlanta. I mean, in terms of the conversation we had last segment of bringing some old guys that have been around,
26 is Corey Linsley.
No chance.
No.
But, I mean, he's the fifth best center, like we talked about or whatever last segment.
27 is Jimmy Ward.
No chance. But he's a perfect example of,
again,
D'Amico Ryans
guy.
Goes from Niners to Texans and total opposite cultures. He's going to be their glue guy, their guy they look up to.
28 is DeAndre Hopkins.
What do you think?
No.
I think no, too. I think he's got a better chance than Keenan Allen.
I guess.
Year or two hasn't helped his cause.
Yeah.
He's also been suspended. I mean, I think he's a no. In terms of receivers of this generation, I mean, like Adams and Kupp are better and are probably a better years ahead of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
29 is Darius Slay.
I think no. But being on a high-profile Super Bowl-type team
has
helped the last year or two.
Doesn't hurt.
Thanks, man.
30 is Teron Armstead.
Maybe. He's missed a lot of games.
Yeah.
Trent Williams is ahead of him. Jason Peters is ahead of him. Just of guys that have been played lately. I think he's probably on the outside looking in when it's all said and done. I'm pretty certain of it the more I think about it.
Yeah. The honorable mention guys. David Bakhtiari.
Similar to
last couple of years haven't helped him.
I mean, the Aaron Rodgers relationship and winning 13 games time and time again kept him in the limelight, but the last couple of years has been hard to see him. You don't see him on the field very much.
Yeah. Cameron Jordan.
No. I think he's behind Cam Hayward, too.
Yeah.
You know.
And then David Andrews.
No.
No.
I mean, just good player. I don't even know if he's a Patriots Ring of Honor guy.
I think, to me, if you're still top 10 in this list, you're probably on your way.
In terms of how well you're playing now.
Because you're still performing well.
Adams and Kupp are good examples.
Yeah.
Like, they're still top five receivers.
And they just turned 30. And
those are young 30-year-olds, too, huh? Like, I always find it interesting. I don't watch golf, but, like, the senior tour, the rookies should come in and kill you. You know,
right, yeah.
You know what I mean? They're playing against 65-year-olds, and they just retired from playing against, you know, the best in the world, and they come into the senior league, and, like, now I'm the star right away, and you only get worse. You know, so some of these dudes that are 30 still have a lot of good football left in them.
Yeah, yeah. I think Cam Hayward still has it.
I do too.
Several productive years ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. Big injury or something would really hurt his cause. But if he could put two or three more years together like the last two or three, then you really start to see something.
Some of these defensive linemen, I mean, we just talked about Calais Campbell. He's 37.
Wow. I would have guessed younger than that. Wow. Wow.
I mean, but they're built like tanks.
Yeah. And even like Namakong Su. Like, I don't think he goes to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's been in
somewhat
of a mercenary the last 5 years, and
just keep
goes to good teams and goes to Super Bowls and was second overall pick in the draft. And you can last a long time once you kind of learn your role as these D linemen. Like, if Cam wants to play five more years, that sounds crazy. But if he, you know, knows who he is, plays 30 snaps a game in that fifth season and fourth season, he can still be highly effective, too.
Plus, there's no doubt.
An awesome locker room guy and all that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah.
And then you start compiling more sacks and things like that, too, for your Hall of Fame case.
Yeah.
We've talked about this a lot, but I'd love to see him, and I know you would, too, and I know it's important to him. That Man of the Year thing would be big.
That would be big. More
seems
playoff
like
wins would be big.
That would be big, too.
Yeah.
I mean, being the team right on the outside looking in doesn't help your causes.
Does not.
No.
But, yeah, I think, when I look at that list, there's a lot of good players on there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys who are still really good.
Yeah.
But what we didn't see, any running backs.
So how many quarterbacks were there?
Not
many. I mean, like Matthew Stafford's not on there. Wilson's not on there. Guys that would have been there last year.
Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins. That was it.
Kirk Cousins is the other one. Like, think about a year ago. Brady would have been on there. Wilson might have been on there. Stafford certainly would have been on there. That's a little odd, you know, that there's no – the Ben generation's basically gone.
It's aging out.
And the quarterback world had skipped a generation. You know, like, Luck should be on there.
Right.
You know, Cousins is that age. Wilson's that age, and he fell off a cliff. Like, there's no soon-to-be-old guys or getting-to-be-old guys right now. The league has a bit of a problem that way.
They do. I did want to mention that, well, today is Kenny Pickett's 25th birthday, right?
It's another big birthday today.
Somebody else. Kenny Pickett turns 25 today.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it was you. You turned 50 today.
50, yeah.
50.
Half a century, yeah.
Welcome to the club.
How about that? Kenny's a quarter of a century old today. I'm half a century old today. It's also D-Day. It's also the Antichrist birthday on 6-6. That's always a good thing to have, too, you know? So how about that?
Okay, you went down a completely different direction there with that
big
stuff.
Big 6-6 birthdays.
Okay. And with that, we're going to take a break.
There you go.
He is Matt Williamson.
Happy birthday, Kenny. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe we'll go out and get a cold one.
Cam Hayward, when they were out there stretching, was wishing, hey, it's Kenny Pickett's birthday.
Nice.
We're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally.
Maybe they'll sing to us.
Maybe. You're listening to a special edition of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from the Steelers OTA sessions here at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex on the South Side, and we will be back with more right after this. Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. This is a special edition of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from the Steelers OTA sessions here at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. And Matt, I had another little article here that I want to talk about. How about that?
Okay.
Our friend, a friend of the show, Judy Batista of NFL.com, She's their senior national columnist. She's been a frequent guest of the show.
I'd say she usually joins us at the Combine. I think she did this year when I wasn't with you guys. So I think we got like 5 or 6 years in a row sitting down with Judy.
Absolutely. Yeah, Judy knows her stuff.
Yeah, she's wired in.
She did a thing here. Four teams that greatly helped their quarterbacks in the 2023 offseason, and five that didn't.
That might be more important.
Right.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves. Yeah. Like, I don't know if she's going to bring up the Bears, but we were talking about this on my podcast yesterday. Like, we were talking about some of the worst defenses in the league, and I'm like, the Bears is horrendous. I think they're going to be terrible on defense. But it's totally excusable because they spent all their resources to help Fields. You
right.
know, great. You know, deal with the defense next year. Help your quarterback.
Help your quarterback.
Yeah.
Your young quarterback.
Yes, yes, yes. It's different if you're Aaron Rodgers, and we're not going to use first-round picks because that's why you're paying Aaron Rodgers
yeah.
or Mahomes. Or, you
she
know.
Says the applause goes to the New York Jets. Well, did they help their quarterback
that
or did the quarterback
count.
Yeah,
that's going to get a new quarterback doesn't help your quarterback.
Well, it helps get your quarterback off the field if it's Zach Wilson.
I mean, you're better at quarterback,
yeah.
but I don't know that they went out and helped their quarterback. They also didn't really add anything on offense.
Well, they added a bunch of Aaron Rodgers buddies.
I guess they brought his friends in, right.
Aaron and
Randall Cobb and
it's
Lazard
like Dead and Company.
It's
Aaron
right,
and
right.
Aaron and Company, and in some cases, some of these guys are close to.
Yeah, I don't
dead
think
careers.
That one counts.
Yeah, number two is the Bengals.
Orlando Brown.
Yeah,
is that enough though to make you a top five help your quarterback type of team?
I don't know that that is.
Yeah, I mean you had a lot in place.
Yeah, I don't know. I
no,
don't,
I don't
know.
Think they would be either one would be my picks.
Yeah. And I don't. Here's the thing that's not getting talked about. So, Lael Collins had knee surgery.
Right, right, right.
So, now they're talking about taking Jonah Williams, who couldn't play left tackle real well.
He was an overrated left tackle. That's why they went and got Orlando.
He's going to bump over to the right side.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't as easy as you think.
Right.
And it doesn't mean he'll be a success there either.
Right.
Now he's blocking T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
You know, right.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll
I can see them drafting a tackle in the first round next year.
Without a doubt.
I mean, without question.
Number three is the Ravens. Well, obviously, they went
that's
out
a good one.
Quarterback.
That's yeah. a good one. I mean, that to me is the definition.
They changed
of,
offensive coordinators. They got
yep.
receivers.
Yep.
Which they didn't have.
It's the best group yeah. he's thrown to, you know, at least on paper. We'll see how it turns out. But, yeah, that's the definition of helping your quarterback. I like that one.
Number four is the Green Bay Packers. Did they really help their quarterback?
Three early picks on pass catchers, but they're all rookies.
Right.
I mean, I like Musgrave. I like Kraft.
Following up another draft where they – last year they drafted a bunch of wide receivers.
Yeah, Watson and Dubs.
They're kind of in a situation with the Steelers are in right now where they get a whole bunch of young
pass catchers. I actually heard this the other day that I think their projected roster, which is, you know, who knows who's going to make the team, could be the youngest in the league this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a lot of draft picks on defense. All their pass catchers are young.
Young guys. And they don't have the resumes –
No,
that
no.
That the Steelers receivers do.
No. I mean, no, there's no doubt that Jalen Reed could have a better season than Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
But it's an unknown.
I mean, who's their Deontay Johnson?
Well,
they don't have one.
No. I mean, Pickens and Watson, I guess, are comparable. But neither one's a target hog.
Yeah. You know. And their tight ends are not Pat Freiermuth yet.
No. They'll be very fortunate if they turn into Freiermuth.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's interesting.
And they didn't add a Solomalu or,
right.
you know,
Team,
Roger Jones.
Teams on which she is withholding judgment
okay.
include the Patriots. They went out
the coordinator changed.
The coordinator, yeah.
right.
Which they didn't have one last year. That's a big difference.
I mean, Juju's no superstar, but at least he's solid and you know what you're getting there.
Mike, same with Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
The Cowboys.
I think that's a good one. Brandon Cooks is a solid addition.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a superstar, but he's a solid addition. Drafted Schoonmaker in the second round, fine, you know.
Could this be a year where Brandon Cooks makes it through an entire season and is not being talked about as a trade target?
If they get half a season out of
him. Has there been anybody who's been dealt more times for more draft picks?
And what's funny about him, it's not because he's a bad guy or, you know, they're dumping him for seventh rounders.
Yeah.
People wanted him, especially early in
and
his career.
And they paid him and he just...
Yeah. I think the Patriots and the Rams both gave up a first-round pick for him.
Yeah, right.
He's been sought after. He's had a good career.
And
crazy
now,
career, though.
Yeah. The teams, is this it? The Titans.
Oh, are we talking about teams that
teams
didn't,
that
help,
didn't
their,
help their quarterbacks?
Not even a little.
Yeah. In fact, all they did was bring in another quarterback.
Yeah.
Into an already crowded
Their pass catchers are maybe
awful.
The worst in the league.
Well, if the next team on here is the Houston Texans. The AFC South pass catchers are not good.
No, they're really not. We talked about this last week. I mean, I'm not sure I'd say Houston didn't help their quarterback, though. I mean,
well, you got rid of your best receiver in Brandon Cooks. I don't know if you...
Right. But, I mean, like, Shaq Mason is helpful. Dalton Schultz is helpful. I mean, these guys aren't stars, but considering what Houston used to play with,
yeah.
Robert Woods, I mean, they're okay. They drafted the really tiny guy, Tank Dell. You know, I mean, at least they did stuff on that side of the ball.
And the last team on here is the Buffalo Bills.
Kincaid.
That's all they did, though.
Torrance. I mean, it's an upgrade. And
is he? I don't know.
I don't think he's a great player, but Damian Harris is what they need at the running back position as opposed to Singletary and Cook. And give me somebody that can close out a game in the snow.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, I would have the Bears up there. They drafted a right tackle. They traded for DJ Moore. I mean, they did a lot.
Well, that's where I wanted to go with this next, Matt. Could the Steelers have been on that list?
Yeah, you've added a left side of the offensive line. I mean, he's only a third-round pick, but if you're going to give the Packers credit for Kraft and Musgrave, isn't Washington that at least they're equal?
You traded for Allen Robinson.
I could see the league not looking at Allen Robinson as a dial mover. You know,
if you're this is where I think people got it wrong with him, though, is that you know when the Steelers made that trade, well, he's not going to help them. They're not asking him to go out there and play 1,000 snaps this year.
They swap like the picks Rams in the were seventh doing. Round.
Yeah.
Right. They're not signing him to the massive contract that the Bears did. And then, you know, the investment the Bears and Rams had was massive. And they didn't get their money out of the investment.
Right.
I mean, there's just no way around that. There's some situations that didn't help Robinson's cause, but he didn't live up to what they paid for the player. What the Steelers paid for him, I mean,
pennies on a dollar.
Right. And again, if he can just mentor and play 30 snaps, and where was this team weakest? Red zone and intermediate portions of the field.
The other thing that they didn't have was a guy that if, let's say, for example, George Pickens were to miss a game.
Right.
Who was going to play outside?
It would have been bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been like Boykin.
Right.
I mean, now that
now you got a guy who's
– now Boykin probably doesn't see the field.
Been a Pro Bowl receiver.
Right. You and know, you mix in Austin, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, right. So, no, I think he's a good pickup, especially for the cost. But if I were a national writer, I don't think I'd be like, boy, they really
may not
helped
be on
Kenny
that list with some of these other teams.
Right. It's not like DJ Moore. You
right.
Know, right.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Bears most certainly could have been on there.
The Browns helped out a little bit. At least they drafted a receiver. I was just thinking about the division because they mentioned the Ravens. They mentioned the Bengals. I don't know if the Bengals would be on my list just for one player.
Yeah, I don't
player.
Think they would for
right.
one player. I mean, I understand left tackle was a huge issue for them last year.
Yeah. And he's fine.
But that's who Joe Burrow is. Joe Burrow is going to take sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who he is.
He's going to hold the ball.
He's got a little Ben Roethlisberger in him.
Yeah. I mean,
he's going to hold the ball and wait to make a play.
To make the play.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Clearly, the Ravens helped their quarterback the most in the division, in my opinion.
Maybe the most in the league.
Steelers might be second, though, in the division. I mean, I think adding two prominent offensive tackles or offensive linemen is better than adding Orlando Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, big picture, especially with Jones. They gave Watson two decent receivers. I think Tillman's a nice pickup, and I like Elijah Moore quite a bit, but neither one's DJ Moore level or somebody like that.
Well, I think one of the things that doesn't get talked about much that maybe should be factored into that, and you brought this up, 16 teams changed play callers last season. The Steelers stuck with Matt Canada largely because they didn't want to upend things.
Right, rock the boat.
And rock the boat with Kenny Pickett.
Sure, and things got much better as the season went on, obviously, offensively. What's kind of interesting, just kind of dawned on me, because we were talking about Davante Adams last segment, there was A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams,
movement.
All those big-time receivers changed teams. This list would be a lot different a year ago.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, Tua, wow, we got Tyreek Hill,
yeah.
You know, or, you know, Carr got Adams. You know, there weren't massive skill position swings, plus this receiver class didn't have a Jamar Chase.
Yeah, there wasn't that guy.
There wasn't that guy, and it wasn't as deep. So this is a harder exercise than usual. I mean, you could see where, like, the Patriots would show up because the coaching was so drastic last year. You know, just
atrocious.
Making a change there is worth noting.
Yeah, absolutely. And in this case, I think with the Steelers not making a change, a lot of people are down on Matt Canada. And I don't know that we've gotten the chance to see what he really envisions. Maybe Maybe the second half of last year was what he envisioned.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine. I mean, and again, I do think a lot of mistakes, Canada aside, I mean, I think a lot of mistakes are made in young quarterbacks' careers with just a lot of turmoil. Like,
think about the Baker Mayfield situation where he had like six different coordinators or seven different coordinators.
There's been several examples.
In like 5 years.
Yeah, where it's almost every year. I mean, it's almost like they average a change a year. And, I mean, it's one of the stabilities of this organization, too, is ownership realizes, do I really want to change coaches in a first-round quarterback second year? I'm talking about head guys,
yeah,
you know, and let alone coordinators, play calling, terminology, learning all new stuff. You know, take that playbook and throw it on the fire and just start over. And learn, let's learn French this year. You know, like, it's hard.
Yeah, it's nuts. I think stability matters in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Stability matters here as well, and because we have to do that, we have to be stable. We have to take a break here at the top of the hour. He is Matt Williamson.
Not your best transition.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that one a little bit. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to a special edition of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from the Steelers OTA sessions here at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex, and we will be back with more right after this.